Welcome to this special time of broadcast here on Renew FM. But this is Pastor George Small. It's great to be with you tonight, and maybe you've been tuning in over the last number of weeks. And we're changing our direction with this program, and we there's a season for things, and then there's a new season. And so this program began a couple months ago, as the world was just changing on all of us. And so we've been interviewing pastors and missionaries. I've had the privilege of speaking to some wonderful people and learning a lot of things myself. And then other pastors have also done some wonderful interviews. And tonight we're going to continue. But, you know, there's just a different world. It keeps changing, doesn't it? And last week I had the real privilege of just interviewing a couple local pastors as we just consider what's happening. At least it's coming up to the surface in a great way right now in America, and that is just the racial tension that is very real and very strong, and we're all watching this, and we're just continuing and seeing this in the news and watching maybe marches and so forth, protests in our own communities and so forth. So tonight I want to just bring a special guest. His name is Pastor Reggie Smith. He was with us last week. I had a real blessed time just talking with him and letting him encourage you, and we're going to continue tonight here on this Tuesday night. And so, Pastor Reggie Smith, welcome to Renew FM.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure and a joy to be with you once again, Pastor George. As we begin to converse on the national topic that's going on, in some kind of way and somehow, I just pray that the Lord can intervene and touch hearts and touch minds, that we all can come together in unity and peace, and figure out a way that we will not only be able to live together, but that we can all come together with new policies and but most of all, as you know, that we can have an agreement, that we can just come to Christ. That's what it's really all about.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you and I as Christians, we have the hope that we do in Christ. And so I agree that hope for America and the hope for the world is ultimately Jesus. We need a powerful work in our nation, but it starts with a powerful work in each of our hearts. I was even listening to a pastor not too long ago today and, you know, emphasizing those very things that it all comes down to the human heart. And you and I were here last week, and both brothers in Christ, we have this love in Christ. We're just getting to know each other. We come from very different backgrounds. You told me a little bit about your story last week, growing up in Philadelphia. And, you know, I didn't grow up in Philadelphia. I grew up in military bases, you know, around the world and so forth, and very different journeys, very different experiences. And yet we've got the same love in our heart. We've got the love of God, and we've got Christ. And I do believe that's ultimately what brings us together, isn't it? And brings us beyond all the other things. So tonight, as we continue to talk here on Renew FM to our audience, just to encourage whoever might be listening, I will give you a phone number tonight. I'm not going to give it too much, but if you are listening and you want to add in to our conversation with a question or whatever it might be, you can give us a call at 978-353-0849, 978-353-0849. But Pastor Reggie, as you know, we were talking last night, looking around in this world, you shared different thoughts about your own journey and about Christ, and I'd like to just continue with that tonight. You know, we really ran out of time. We didn't have enough time together last week. But as you look at the church right now, let's just begin with the church in America and dealing with this racial tension, you know, your thoughts tonight as we get started.
Well, you know, when we look at racial tension, I think the church needs to be the example and then set the tone. In many ways, we are not necessarily fighting each other. But we seem to be separated in many ways. Although we worship together, although we may come together in some aspects of in our honor and our worship to the Lord. But if we really be honest, in so many ways, we're all separated. Although I don't believe in a ethnic church or a black church, white church, and or that kind of nature, but if we look at the makeup of the individual particular churches, it's made up just like that.
It is. It is. We are birds of a feather that flock together. It's true. I had the privilege last night of interviewing a pastor from Boston, and he's a white man, but he has a very diverse church.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a privilege. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for so long, and he's right in near the hospital area of Boston. So he's down there. But he explained his church didn't used to be that way. But what he began to do, he just wanted his church to be that way if God would do it. He began to just pray and pray and pray. And, God started to bring people from other nations. I think they now have 37 different nations in their church. And that's a beautiful thing to me, honestly, because we learn so many different things from different cultures. We experience so much more vibrancy, you know, that way. So, but I hear you. It's very true. Birds of a feather flock together. Yeah,
it is. I don't necessarily think we do it on purpose. I think we do it as we just get used to a certain style, maybe, of worship. It may be even a style of preaching that you like, or many different things that kind of draw us to somewhat be separated. But I truly believe the church needs to lead the way. Am I saying we should shut our doors and all come together? Well, maybe that's not the answer either. But we just need to all look at innovative ways to reach out to everybody.
Yeah, amen. I think we can model to the world. Jesus did say that, you know, our love for one another, right? The world is going to know us, know him even. I mean, we stand out because of the love of Christ. We are unique. And the racial tension, there's a lot of reason for that. Prejudice, hurt, anger. But the church, we should be different. We should come through the doors, come to Christ. And I see my own sin. I see all the things that I've done. I stand before a God and the cross, and I evaluate everything differently at that moment. And I realize that my hands are not clean, you know what I mean, before a holy God. And as we're even reading in my Bible devotions this morning, you know, the whole thing where Jesus gave the parable of the unforgiving servant. You know, he was forgiven actually quite a bit, right? And then he goes out and runs into a friend that owed him a little bit of money, you know, and he wasn't willing to forgive him and the rebuke he got from his master. But that point that I've been forgiven so much, I should be able to forgive anyone. That's the point of the parable, isn't it?
Yes.
And so the power of what we are as Christians in our hearts, the world right now, should, by the grace and mercy of God, I pray in America, see a church that maybe we're learning in the middle of this to love more, and that the need, we need to be that example of reaching out to one another more and joining in arms and joining in hands, however we do it. But it's true. You might like a different style of music than I do. You might like a different style of a church service, you know. Some people are more liturgical, right? They like their very reverent service. Some people are more chill, and they like it chilled out. Some people are like, man, if we're not real excited, God didn't show up. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, I'm just saying we're so different. God's very colorful and beautiful, and you know, the church is amazing. We're just different.
Yes, we are.
And appreciating that. But, yeah, I agree with you, brother. And so suggestions going forward. Do you have suggestions to the church? And how do we go forward, Reggie?
Well, I know some of the things that we have talked about for the True Vine Church. Well, first let me say this. When you mentioned how we have to look internally, mm-hmm. And the scriptures say all have sinned and come short the glory of God. So that means I may be a pastor, but that don't mean I have some areas that don't need to get tightened up and get more closer to God. And during this pandemic, I believe that's one of the focuses God allowed to put on just about every Christian's heart, is to get closer to Him. My relationship with my wife, how do we make that better? Me and my wife and had plenty of conversations on, well, what about this? What about this and this? We need to really come together more on this and that kind of stuff. So even in the midst of this pandemic, God is working tremendously.
Well, amen. Amen.
I mean, tremendously. And now we look at the church and we look at what's going on as far as the separation in the world. And we go, and I know when we're talking, like, you know, because we have not opened our church just yet. And we're thinking, when do we open? We don't want to open back the same way in which we close. And it's not to say that we close bad.
Right.
Because we didn't. It's how can we open more closer to God? And one of the things that we notice as far as trying to be more inclusive. And when I say more inclusive, I'm not just talking about black and white. It's not a black and white thing. I'm talking about younger, teenager, older. So when I'm talking about inclusive, I'm talking about inclusive. When we're talking about everything, not only just gender, male and female, because that's what we recognize.
Right, right. Amen.
Not just black, white, Spanish, African, and all the other ethnic groups that's out there, but age groups too. And how can we bring it together? You talked about different style, and there's nothing wrong with a church having different styles.
Right.
Just because, I mean, we have to be spirit-led. We have to be spirit-led. And then sometimes the spirit will lead you to pure worship, and sometimes it will lead you to a high praise, and there's nothing wrong with either one of them. I think we can try to dot every I and cross every T, but if we're not led by the Spirit, we're really doing it not under the direction of God. And I think it's Psalms 32:8 when he spoke on he would lead us with his eyes. Right. And that's what my prayer is, Lord, that you will lead me with your eyes. I see what you see. I can hear what you hear. I'm in tune with you. I'm in tune with your people, Lord. And it's not to glorify anything that I may say or do. It's just the simple fact that we are being led by you, by your Spirit Amen. Alone. And I believe if we're being led by the Spirit of God, it will be quite easy to bring everybody together.
You know, I think if I was just teaching with our men. I'm mentoring our men early on Wednesday morning. I go through different things, but we've been looking at the Holy Spirit and many different things about the Spirit. We got into the gifts of the Spirit recently, but Paul does make the point that the greatest of these things is love. And honestly, you know chapter 13, right? I mean, if you can speak in tongues and interpret, you can prophesy. It's a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. Love is the greatest thing. So if the Spirit of God is leading me and the Spirit of God is leading us, love is going to be this thing that is above it all. It's the real litmus test to the Spirit of God working, that we're loving each other and we're standing together. That is, and again, Jesus says the world's going to know you by the love of God. And so that should be it. And I think you made an interesting just connection. You were talking about the COVID-19, and we are as a world kind of moving beyond that. And the introduction, I was waiting for it to come on. It's different now. It used to say something about that. We're now talking about other things. You know what I mean? It'll still be around, but I think we're all adjusting. This is the world we're in now. But now we're in this racial tension. It's always been there, but it's just really bubbled up to the surface and trying to discern, you know, the role of the church. We're here to be an example of Christ, a place, a hospital for healing, but people seeing us together, just loving and respecting and walking together regardless. The pastor I interviewed last night from Boston, he said it's not easy. They've very intercultural, multiracial. And he says, honestly, if it isn't once a week, it's at least once a month, and they've been like this for a while. Something happens where somebody gets hurt. You know what I mean? There's some misunderstanding because we are very different, and he has to jump in there. You know, there's somebody accusing somebody else of being prejudiced or whatever. You know, and yet they're doing a wonderful thing, but yet it isn't. We'll always be people that are broken and need to keep learning until Christ comes back, right? But love, I do agree, and I agree with the you know, your points that you were making related to that. So going forward, maybe we're different. Maybe not. It's so much. Maybe God will change the inside of our own churches, the chemistry and the makeup. But even church to church, we can do things outside of our church, can't we? We can stand together as pastors. We can do prayer gatherings. We can do outreaches. We can be together for the community to see that we have this love of Christ that binds us together. So I've been talking for a bit, so I give it back to you, Reggie.
I agree with you that they will, the community will see a unified front, not only in the midst of chaos. Because when chaos comes, we seem to come together very well. But I would like them to see us together in a unified front, even when everything's okay. I don't know. Maybe it's an ice cream place or something, yeah. Something of that particular nature. What is doing to allow us to lead by example?
Yeah,
I heard you talk about it, Pastor, on Renew Radio.
Oh, no kidding, huh?
I'm pretty sure that's what some people say. I heard you talk about it sometime, Pastor, on Renew Radio. I'm glad to see you living it now. Because we have to be careful. And you're so right, because we have a different dynamic inside our ministry. Even though it's a small ministry, we have so many different nationalities. I mean, so many. African American. I'm African American. My wife, Jamaican. We have white, we have the different Spanish, Dominican, Puerto Rican, and all these Haitian and many other nationalities. Different languages, different cultures. And we have to be careful how we deal with things, not to further divide. Because we can pay attention to one particular group so much. A lot of attention is going to the African-American community, as it should, due to the injustice that they have gone through. But we have to be careful that we are not ostracizing everybody else, that they're not able to share their opinion also on it.
Yeah.
Because outside of being African-American, there's still some 13-year-old Christian young white girl that's upset also.
Right.
And it's important that she has the avenue, just like everybody else, to voice her opinion.
Oh, amen. Amen. No. How can you work through things unless you are able to express? Paul even says that in one of his letters, doesn't he? He says to this one particular church, and it's really, as he says it, Is it the church in Corinth? I don't remember, but it's this thing about love. He says, I'm opening my heart to you, but you don't reciprocate. He expresses this frustration in one of his letters. I'm opening my heart to you, you know what I mean? And you don't do it back to me. And right there, there's, you know, we're not very close. I'm talking and you're not talking. I'm trying to express, you're just sitting there. And that's what he's trying to say to this particular church. It's true. Communication, God has given it to us. God communicates to us. God gave us the word. Jesus is the word. You know, we got to be able to talk. People got to be able to express, and we have to be able to listen. And I think of James, you know, we've been given two ears and one mouth, right? We should listen twice as much as we talk. So we need to really listen to each other and try to understand, because it is a tough time. Last night, Pastor Steve from Boston was sharing how, you know, as a white person, I can't assume that I understand what you're saying, meaning, you know what I mean? As a African-American man, what you say about your experience, I just can't assume that I understand. I may not even understand. Mm-hmm. But I love you and I give respect. But I have to, he was really stressing that in order to help in this time, those that are not African-American need to not assume that they understand. meaning we give understanding, but we may not, because I have a different journey, and that kind of shuts things down. If I just come off as if, yeah, I know, I hear you, I've heard this before, that doesn't help you any, does it, if I'm just that way, that I need to listen, and I need to then show understanding and empathy and love and respect what you're feeling, and at the same time, you don't know exactly what I'm thinking and feeling
right.
either.
Right.
So to, you know, communicate and talk and love each other, and definitely communication. When there's differences of opinion, I do premarital, right, or marriage crisis counseling. And what happens when there's a fight? I deal with this with a couple in premarital. What are you going to do when you fight, you know? Well, one of the first things you do need to do is you need to start talking. You know, I mean, if you've been fighting, and eventually it has to work to, will you forgive me for what I did? Yes, I forgive you for that. And would you forgive me? Well, no, would I forgive you for what you did? You know, we have to work through the forgiveness part, and then we need to pray together. And if a couple does that, talks through it, figures out what they've done wrong to each other and asks for forgiveness and forgive each other and then pray together, it's amazing what happens in that healing, right? So just all that to say is we're here. You know, you're listening to Renew FM, and as we've been doing, I've been interviewing pastors and missionaries, just having conversations, and you get to listen. If you want to jump into this conversation, I'll give the phone number one or two more times, 978-353-0849. You can, if you'd like to, 978-353-0849. But Pastor Reggie Smith from Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is George Small from Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and I'm a white man, he's an African-American man, and we're just here sharing and talking about the church and the love of God and what's going on in our nation right now. And so again, you can join in if you'd like, and if you have a question or some comment, you're welcome to do that. So going forward, the need to talk is what you're saying. Communication is important, letting people communicate as they have been. But we have to get past that too. We have to get past that too. Yep. Further thoughts, Reggie?
It's not by, I don't think it's by chance that you mentioned that. That was something I've been talking with my wife, and I've been talking with some colleagues of mine where I work. And I asked them a question. I said, where do we go from here? Well, what do you mean? I said, where do we go from here? I said, after 3 weeks, after 4 weeks, when the protest dies down a little bit and life gets back to somewhat normal, what do we do here? How do we move forward? How do we get along? How do we drive the change that we want to see? And we start talking about we be the change that we want to see first. We be the change that we want to see, and we sit down and we start having some really tough, hard to hear conversations. It may be hard for me to hear some of the things that you feel, Pastor George.
Right.
But it's time for us to have these tough, hard conversations in the church, outside the church, with our police community, in our families. It's time to have these really tough conversations. Me and my wife, maybe it was about a week and a half ago, had a real tough conversation. And some things is not always easy to hear or easy to say, because even you know when you say something how it's going to sting sometimes.
Oh, amen.
But it's necessary. And that's what I believe. We need to have some necessary conversations. I have been contemplating this week, sometime next week, to pull our church team together and have one of these tough conversations.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, you make me think of a lot of things when you say that, Reggie. I think of, you know, Paul. I was teaching through 1 Corinthians before COVID-19, and I've been doing other things since, but I intend to get back to where I left off. But, you know, Paul says that. He's got some tough things to say to this church. Yeah, he does. And he's like, how am I going to come to you? Are you, you know, he calls it what it is. I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, my very last study in our sanctuary. And I had been in it 2 weeks, and I was going to come back the next week. But I said, he does not mince words. Right in this chapter, this is what sexual sin is. He doesn't come up with any excuses. And I just said, this is what Paul, this man who understood the Old Testament, what purity, what was made by God, what wasn't. Jewish man came to Christ. He comes into Corinth, and he's teaching them about purity. And so, and he doesn't mince any words. And it's a hard conversation. There's big things. And he says it, man, you got to deal with this situation. I mean, you got to do it. It's just what it is. And, you know, in our church at the time, I think that Sunday, our two services, I think, I'm pretty sure, you know, from what I've understood, people walked out of both services and are not coming back to the church, you know, because it is hard. And I was being pretty gracious, too, but I was just saying what Paul was saying. And we got to have these conversations, and people are going to listen or not listen. And that's just the truth about it. And that's even in the church. You know, last week, you know, Fitchburg Leominster, we've got, you know, 85,000 people, this community where the studio is. We're here in the central area of Massachusetts. We've got radio stations sprinkled around, you know, in the Boston area and southern Rhode Island, New Hampshire, so forth, western Mass. But you were at the, I think you and I were in the studios on Tuesday night. I think it was before the Black Lives Matter protest that happened right here next to this church building. So we were in the studios talking about it, and then we were part of that. And I'd like to just get your feedback on that, because that happened, what you thought of it as an African-American man. You were also involved. You spoke at it. And then we've got a couple minutes to a break, and then you'll hear and we'll be back. But I want to talk to you about that. And then let's just think this through in the local community. What do we do in Fitchburg Leominster going forward? And you talk about your church when you talk about that. But what are we going to do as a church, churches locally, to see, what's the steps? So, but, you know, ask your, you got 2 minutes, and give us our, just your opinion about last week.
Quite emotional.
Okay.
Quite emotional. Because it took me back to when we used to see on TV, black and white TVs, the old King marches and the old Dr. King rallies. So it took me back a little bit. But it didn't take me back in a negative way. I said, look how far we came, but look how far we need to go. But when I seen the demographics of the crowd, it wasn't dominant, per se, African-American. It was a mix of everybody.
It was a mix.
And that was such a joy to see.
Praise God.
That it was everybody on one accord, pushing for the same thing.
And it included the police, local police, and our police chief right in the middle of our crowd. Yep.
And the police chief stood in the middle of the crowd. He didn't have all on riot gear or anything else. He stood, and I think it was Officer McCall that stood with him in the middle of the crowd. And he was engaged.
Yep.
The community was engaged. The pastors was engaged, and the whole community, just for this, it was 1 or 2 hours. It was a joy to see us just come together on one accord. There was no separation. I mean, it was some more passionate than others, because some may have cried, some screamed, some yelled, and some fussed, and some cussed. But they was all passionate about the same thing.
Amen. Amen.
And just for a second, it let me know that unity is possible.
Amen. Well, we're going to be going to, we're going to have you hold that thought, Pastor Reggie. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay tuned. This is George Small here on Renew FM, and I'm with Pastor Reggie Smith, and we'll be right back after this break. Well, Well, this is Pastor George Small. Welcome back to the second half of, you know, Hope for the Hour. That's what we're calling this program now, Hope for the Hour. Hope for whatever the hour might be. And the hour right now in America, the hour right now in the world, whatever that might be, Hope for the Hour. I've got with me in the studio here Pastor Reggie Smith and also his wife, Christine. And we are discussing with you, you know, just our hearts, sharing our hearts. Pastor Reggie is an African-American. Christine Smith is Jamaican. And I'm born in France, French, and everything else, a mutt, you know, a white man. So we're here just sharing our hearts with you and seeking to encourage you, but also just to talk practically about going forward as a nation or maybe as just our communities. So we want to continue to talk about that. But, you know, just before the break, Pastor Reggie, we were talking about the Black Lives Matter rally demonstration that happened in our city right next to our church here. We were involved with it last week. And I thought, it just struck me when he said it, and I, during the break, said I'd like to just continue on that thought. But what happened last week, he said this. He said it was emotional to him. And that just says a lot as a white man hearing that, because of what you're saying and all of that, what you saw and you referred to, you know, Martin Luther King and those old black and white marches, and it was emotional to you. And I don't know if we, you know, but it just was illuminating to me. I have to say that, you know, it was powerful for me, but I have a different journey. You know what I'm saying? I'm interpreting the world in a certain way. You're interpreting it, and for you, it was emotional. And then that says just a whole lot. And I'd like to just, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you, Pastor Reggie, you know, as you say that, why exactly was it, you know, why was it so emotional? I guess I'm going to ask you that.
I begin to think about the generations that have had the displeasure of dealing with injustice. My mother used to tell me about the conversations that came from her father. So obviously my mother was speaking to me, and I grew up in a fatherless home. So she couldn't play both parts, but she did what she could to raise a knucklehead little boy. And now it was so emotional because I seen my kids out in the crowd. So not only did my grandfather, my mother, me, now my kids have to experience the exact same thing.
Wow.
It's just spread across generations. And the emotional part with me was I was thinking it have affected my history. How can I stop it from destroying my future? And that's when I looked at my kids. And that was the real emotional part. But it was really encouraging after all this thinking. Because sometimes when you're thinking, you're staring, you're looking, but you're not really seeing all what's in front of you because you're almost in a trance, so to speak. And it was only all this comes to my mind within in a minute. Then when I look, you see all the different nationalities. And God said, you might have to have dealt with it alone, but look what I'm doing.
Yeah, amen. You know, as I listen to you, Pastor Reggie, you know, I have hopes as a man. I have hope for revival. I have hope for my family, hope for our community, hope for our church. And there are things that I'm hoping for when I see them happen. It can be very emotional for me. And what I'm also hearing for you from you then is, as an African-American pastor, and man, your hope is for a different world for your children than what you had. That is what you've just said. And you were seeing some of that possibility. And I think that is, you know, as you're listening to Renew FM, you're a listener right now at your house, your car, whatever you might be. We're two pastors and a pastor's wife here. I just met you, Christine, so I don't know everybody's role. But we're in our studio here in Fitchburg. And you know, Reggie pastors in Leominster. I pastor in Fitchburg. And we're just talking. And I'm telling you right now, as I'm having a conversation, I'm hearing things that I'm learning through the conversation. I'm hearing things that this pastor is saying he was at a demonstration, a Black Lives Matter rally, whatever we want to call it, last week. And there was a whole lot of peace. There was a lot of unity. People from all different stripes, police officers, police chief, pastors, a lot of God honestly mentioned in it. A lot of prayer going on before and during it, even in our building. And yeah, march down the city streets, Channel 5, Channel 7, whatever, helicopters flying around. And but for you, it was emotional because there is a longing in you for healing injustice and a different treatment. And you don't want what's happened to you and your previous generations to happen to your children. That's what I'm hearing.
You are hearing that. I would like for the generation after me, my children, my grandchildren, and they children, to not experience some of the things that I had to experience. And one of the greatest things that I would love is for some healing to start to take place in between our communities. The Black community is really hurting. They're really hurting. And it's emotional to talk about it.
Wow.
Because you see them hurting, and I can't tell them it's not going to happen again. So all I can do is point to a greater love in Christ.
Right.
You know, and it almost sounds cliche. I know what we're going through is real. No, I can't guarantee it's not going to happen again. Yes, I believe we can all take some steps to move the marker forward. But our true healing only comes from Christ.
Amen.
Because if we allow ourselves to stay in that state of anger, it turns to bitterness. Then bitterness turns to hate. Then hate gives place to a whole lot of other things that we see going on, murder and all kind of other things. And once you give place to hate, a whole lot of things start to come in our mind. So at some point in time, we all need to, all of us, not only Truvine come to the table with Truvine, but maybe Truvine come to the table with Horizon.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
We all sit and have some really tough conversations. And that's tough going back and forth, not just y'all just listen to some African-American preacher run his mouth in this meeting. It's not about that. It's us listening to each other. And it's not listening to respond. It's listening to understand. Yep. Because if we listen to respond, we're never going to solve anything. But if we listen to understand it, stand each other, and then maybe I can truly understand that older white lady or white gentleman that really is supporting the police through all of this. We never think about their people, too.
You know what? It's true. I said on Sunday morning, Reggie, in our church, there are people that are African-American and that can tell you, they've told me about the experiences of prejudice that they've experienced in our church, are also law enforcement. And, you know, being in law enforcement, their jobs are so difficult. They're, you know, their spouses and children are sending their loved one out into a dangerous place. These people out in law enforcement are putting their lives at risk. So that's also true. It is, isn't it? It's true. And it is a very difficult issue. And I read this. I'll just mention this. I don't know anything about the facts, but there's been a tremendous amount of injustice from, you know, there's prejudice and there's a hurting community. And it's really hurtful when you see a police officer be very brutal with a black man. As we saw, that video was just brutal, tragic, horrible. But then it's true. The white police officer's wife could say, well, you know how many police officers are killed by African American men. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's the reality, isn't it? And we're in this world. But to have you say what you said earlier was really enlightening. I hope it was enlightening to you, our listeners. It was to me, the way you said it, because we were at the same rally. And I'm thinking, wow, this is powerful. And I'm hoping we can move on. That's what I'm thinking. I hope we can get over this. We can be happy and move on. But you're sitting there holding back tears because you're like, I feel like I have some hope here for my kids. That really is just very enlightening to our two different worlds.
It is, because as an African-American man, my son was telling me him and his friends wanted to take a trip to Florida.
Yep.
A few weeks ago, he was like, oh, you know, we're going to go to Florida. And I said, the first thing I thought about, I said, well, how y'all getting there? And he was talking about, oh, we want to drive down. And then I just shook my head. And I said, well, one, y'all all in a car in the midst of COVID, maybe not that smart. I said, and two, what happens when y'all get pulled over in rural Virginia?
I hear you.
I said, how do you know how to handle that? And his response was, y'all old people worry too much.
But you do, because, you know, why do you worry about that?
Because it's the reality. We seen it happen.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say.
And I experienced quite a bit of it.
Yeah,
I thank my God. I truly thank God that I was always pretty much, well, I can't say always a calm head. That would be not true. But I was always a thinker. Maybe a smart mouth, but I was always a thinker. Being the fact I was a thinker, I was always kind of thinking my way out of things when I got in trouble, especially with the police a lot of the times. But you said something that really stuck out when you said about police officers losing their lives, too. A police officer, I know, he's a chief. I mean, he's an African-American chief. And he told me, he said, I spent 52 years at a disadvantage because of my color.
Wow.
And I spent 30 years at a disadvantage because I wear blue.
Wow. That's interesting. That says a lot, doesn't it?
And yeah. I said, whoo. He said, so I hope you as a pastor can understand not only one side of the story, but both, especially when it comes to me. He said, because I'm trying to protect young black men and protect my officers at the same time. Yeah. And I asked him, I said, well, can we sit down and talk? And he said, absolutely. I think it's warranted. So we never look at it from a different point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I'm teaching through, I mentioned this last night too, but I'm teaching through Jonah on Sunday. I decided to hit Jonah because of what's going on right now. And here's a prophet of God who struggles with hatred. Why does he struggle with hatred? He would rather die. If you really watch it, he's like, throw me in the sea. I'd rather die than go into my enemy. It's quite a deep hatred he has. And he's a prophet of God. You can read about him in another part of the Bible where he gave another prophecy and was used in the northern tribes. He's a prophet of God. And yet God is working with his prophet, makes sure he does go and delivers the message. He doesn't want to deliver it. But then even what God says at the end, I mean, God is like compassionate, and God's trying to get through to this man saying, there's 120,000 people in Nineveh, and they're people I made. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to give them a chance. It's quite a thing, and it's right in our Bible.
Jonah refused. I find it amazing. You're looking at it from a different angle. You're looking at it from an injustice and a prejudice point of view. And I was actually looking at it in an anger point of view. And I was looking at Martha and Mary, how when Jesus didn't respond to their brother being dead, they got an attitude.
Oh, yeah.
One never came out the house when he finally did arrive. And I look at it, and she was upset. She didn't even want to see him. Then you got another one that came up to him and said, well, if you was here earlier, I'm paraphrasing, if you was here earlier, he wouldn't be dead.
So Jesus not only had to deal with Lazarus, he had to deal with his two sisters' attitudes.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily attitude. They was mad.
Yeah.
And I said,
Yeah, the humans. I tell you what, I wouldn't want a microphone in my prayer closet sometimes because, you know, I'm trying to figure out the Lord, and I'm pretty human, and I wish I wasn't. But, you know, I want to have an unshakable faith and trust him, but sometimes I'm not getting what he's doing, and I'm wrestling through it, you know. But, well, you know, I want to say this to you, Reggie, you know, Pastor Reggie and Christine, and I don't know. It's just a thought in my head, and I'm going to say it over the radio, but maybe we can get there. I don't know what you think about this. There's steps between here and this step. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but, you know, what we do, these other interim steps first. But I was just thinking it would be kind of neat to have two churches, a couple churches in the area, the New Vine Horizon, set up a barbecue at the Fitchburg Police Department, Leominster Department, two churches that are very different, and just, you know, making the kind of food you would make, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, we'd make the kind of food we'd make, and we just love on people and just give them respect. But we're also standing together, showing that we love each other, and do it corporately, multiple churches, and just as a statement that, you know, we love God and we love you, and that's about where this is, you know?
Yes, I love the idea. I love the idea. Because it's one thing to bring people together is food. Food has a way of bringing us together more than anything else. And I don't know, you may like your ribs a little done more than I do, or vice versa. It really don't matter. But I would love to.
All right, so I'm gonna. People are listening, hold us accountable. But I think we got the COVID-19, so we got to kind of figure it out how to do it. We might have to make it and package it or vacuum tight it. I don't know, but but anyway, yeah, providing just a group of believers that are from different churches, standing in the middle of this and loving the police department and saying, you know, we realize this is just hard all around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we love God, and we want it to change in our city. We want the hearts to change, so we're standing here, you know. And food, like you said, is a goes right to get. You want to get to the heart, go to the stomach, right?
Go to the stomach first, and all you got to do is go 6-7 inches up.
Amen. Well, okay. Well, there's an idea. Maybe you want to try that in your community, too.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're listening on Cape Cod or Rhode Island or Boston or New Hampshire, wherever you might be listening, and, you know, there's two pastors, two churches represented right now in this studio, and maybe in your community, you're very isolated. You know, it's very often that way it is. We're just kind of doing our own thing. And I know there are wonderful prayer things that go on, too, between churches and prayer groups and pastors' groups, but yeah, we might try that here in Fitchburg, Leominster, God willing, to do a inner church, African-American, white, who know whatever else, Hispanic, and bless our police departments with some barbecues this summer, God willing, and just stand together in love, because we have the love of Christ in us. And but what other steps? What do you think would help in the North County here? There's an idea that came into my head, but what do you think, Reggie?
You know, other steps. I was talking to my wife, and she's a major part of our ministry. She's not just my wife. She has her own calling in Christ.
Well, she's a prayer warrior. I could hear it here when we started.
Prayer warrior, and man, she's amazing. Yep. That's all I can say. She preached better than me, by the way. I can say that, too.
I'm a loss of words to describe my wife, too. I'm blessed. So
I'm not quite sure if I had the right words to explain her. But one of the things we've been talking about moving forward is in the month of July, run a voter registration right outside the church. Voter registration. How do we move forward? We still have a lot of passionate young people. Maybe no one showed them how to register to vote. I mean, it's get involved in the community.
Yeah.
It's no longer okay to sit back. Be involved in the schools. Their school committees, their school systems, their different committees in each town, Leominster, Fitchburg, Gardner, wherever you may live. Get involved. Because I do feel this way. We no longer have a voice to complain if you're not getting involved.
No, you don't. You can It's you can sit back and be critical. You can backbite. You can murmur. But if you're not getting dirty, you know, if you're not sacrificing it, it's really unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you should be gracious regardless. But, yeah, if you're not doing your part, really, you know, you're just a couch potato, you know, the couch quarterback sort of guy or gal. I agree. Politics is a tough one, isn't it? You mentioned the voter registration, which is so amazing. We have a democracy, a republic. We all can vote and trying to encourage voting. Wow, is it also such a volatile? Because it's so layered, you know. You can mention a politician because you're seeing this part of him, but I'm seeing this part of him. You know what I mean? And the one man represents this to you, but he represents this to me. It's so difficult, the politics, too, isn't it?
It is. But the one thing us as Christians, we don't really look at some of the things the other world may look at. What do they have to offer this? What do they have to offer this? Yeah. Oftentimes, I look at Christian values.
That's what I do, yeah.
You know, if they're not standing for Christian values, right away, I'm not voting for you.
Yeah, amen. That's where I'm at.
You may be saying everything else I want to hear, but the minute you don't stand for Christian values, I cannot support you.
Yeah. Amen. If you don't get the basic moral issues right, I can't connect with you. I can't figure you out. You don't got the very basic moral issues, you know, the foundational institutions that God has made, and you don't have that right. I don't get it. We got a problem here. We're building on a bad foundation. So I hear you loud and clear. Amen. Yeah, we agree. Amen. And but it is such a difficult, it's a difficult one because we're left to vote for the people we're left to vote for, and we have to sort through that, and we vote. And yet I may vote on this principle because that's what I'm left with, but others are interpreting these other things, and you just get what you get. You know, you don't get Jesus isn't running for office right now, so I don't get that pick, you know.
No. And I think that would be an obvious, easy pick for all of us.
Yeah.
But politics is extremely difficult because you are always going to have someone in office that you like one part about them, but you like, oh, well, this part here I don't necessarily agree with. And someone will find that if me and you was in office. They would like one part of it, then they wouldn't like another part of it. So it's very difficult. It is even more difficult as a Christian voting because it's so many layers that we try to pull off in order to see the real person.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And really, that's what God does with us, too. That's why often you say, well, how did he call this knucklehead preacher, this little kid from Philadelphia? Somehow he end up in Massachusetts, called by God. But if you look at his life, when no one in his family was living the Christian life,
yep.
We periodically went to church. But somehow he puts me in a place where this man, Dr. Palmer, comes along.
All right.
And God uses him to speak life into me.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, Pastor Reggie, these hours go by quickly. We've got a little over a minute left. And I wish we could keep going, but you've ministered to me, and you have each time. And same with Pastor Palmer was here, too, and Pastor Hughes, you all have ministered to my heart. And it's been good for me. I really thank you for coming. I hope this has been good for you, listener of Renew FM. And we'll be back tomorrow night with some more programming for you. Keep tuning us in. And wow, our nation, you know, we've got about 50 seconds. So what I'm going to do is end this hour. I'm going to ask you, Pastor Reggie, I call you Pastor Reggie, Pastor Smith, however, you know, I'm going to ask you to pray for 30 seconds for our audience, would you, and our nation. You got about 30 seconds.
Father, we thank you, Lord, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, that somehow, Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit can begin to minister to our hearts and our minds, Heavenly Father. Lord, bring us together in unity, Lord. Father, that number one, that healing can take place, Heavenly Father, and once healing take place, Heavenly Father, begin to mend your people together in love. Now, Father, we trust you, we love you, and we adore you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again, Pastor Reggie. You're listening to Renew FM. We're here live in the studio, 6 to 7 o'clock, or live from other studios that are connected to us here. We're just trying to encourage you. Hope for the hour. You have a great evening, And we'll be back tomorrow night. God bless you.
To Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.